Jaws Linda. I didn't... Please stop. I didn't ask... Thank you. I didn't ask Brother Joslyn to sing that. Thank you. You can be seated. I didn't appreciate that. Appreciate that. I didn't ask Brother Joslyn to sing that song. Didn't ask him to sing it, but I am going to ask if maybe the Lord leads, if we could sing that song again at some point here in the service. Young people, I never want to get to the place where the Bible talks about we're past feeling. I never want to get there. I never want to get to the place where the greatest news that I've ever heard in my life, which is the fact that God loves me, that it doesn't stir me anymore, it doesn't move me anymore because I've heard it again and again and again and again. I never want to get to that place. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 3, verse number 18, that we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that we might be filled with all fullness of God. Spurgeon said, For breadth, the love of Jesus is immensity. For length, the love of Jesus is eternity. For depth, it is immeasurability. For height, it is infinity. Spurgeon also said, there is no physician like him. None can save as he can. We love him, and he loves us. And therefore, we put ourselves in his hand. I got thinking of this scripture. The Bible says, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, and thou art mine. And when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Teenager, young person, college student, staff, faculty, whoever you are, I believe God brought me here today for one reason, and that is to just remind you that God loves you. Amen. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Amen. And he sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 8, verse number 35, man, the Bible says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Hey, do you feel far from the love of God today? Do you feel distant from the love of God today? Are you in sin today? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded. Hey, I am persuaded. There's a lot of things in life that I know. There's a lot of things in life that I don't know. But I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Do you realize that today, if you're born again, God loves you so much that he calls you his son? Last night, my son Derek, if you don't know Derek, he's the cutest kid in the world. He's 8 years old. I don't think he's ever sinned a day in his life. He said, Dad, pray for me. I said, why? He said, I got to teach the class, 8 years old, third grade. I got to teach the class tomorrow about electricity. I said, okay. I said, teach me. He said, okay. He got a big smile on his face, big bright personality. He said, there's two kinds of electricity. He's got little glasses on. He's adjusting his glasses. There's two kinds of electricity. current electricity and static electricity. And then he went on and on about electricity. And I got to be honest with you. Look, I just sat there and I watched that little kid, and I wasn't listening about electricity. I wasn't listening about static electricity, current electricity. I can't tell you another thing that he said. I was sitting there looking at him, and I was just overcome, Brother Mitchell. I thought, man, I love that kid. He's the best kid in the world. I mean, if he only knew how much I loved him when he went to bed last night. I went to his room. I got on my knees. I said, Lord, bless this boy. And I love this boy. I wonder how many times we're out and about our daily lives. We're preaching sermons. We're changing tires. We're working at a restaurant. We're doing whatever. And God is looking down from heaven, and he sees you. And he says, man, I love that kid. I love that person. I love that young man. I love that young lady. A greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Teenager, hey, student, God loves you. He loves you. How much does he love us? I want you to take your Bibles and turn to John chapter number 13. And I want to show you something. I've not even developed the message. Just a thought. John 13, look at it. Oh, this is good. John 13, I want you to look at the very first verse. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, he knew what was getting ready to happen. He knew, isn't that what the Bible says? He knew that his hour was come. I don't know when the realization hit the Son of God that he was born to die. Some say it was in the temple when he was answering the questions. Some say that was when he came to full realization that he was the Son of God and that he would someday die for the sins of man. I don't know when it all happened as Jesus grew in wisdom and stature, but in John chapter number 13, I know that in this moment he knew that time was short. He knew that soon he would be brutally crucified. He knew it. He knew that he would be spat upon. He knew that he would be falsely tried. He knew that he would be mocked. He knew the hour was close. Having loved his own, which were in the world, and look what the Bible says. He loved them unto the end. And I got thinking about that thought, Brother Mitchell. He loved them unto the end. All the way through, Jesus loves his disciples. He loved us. Under the end of what, Brother Judah? I believe under the end of his life, he loved them. He knew that his life was getting ready to end. He knew, looking at Peter and James and John and the disciples and those that had followed him and gathered around him, he knew that soon for them he was going to have to suffer like no man had ever suffered. He knew that for them he would be lifted up onto the cross and be made into sin. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He knew that the sky was going to turn dark. He knew that the earth was going to shake. He knew that that cord of affection between he and his Father that had never been broken would be severed for just a moment as the Father turned his back, not being able to even look on the sin that was his own son. He knew it was coming, and he looked at his disciples and he said, I have loved them unto the end. Under the end of my life. Sometimes somebody gets older and they have those deathbed confessions. They have those last moment regrets. I've been there at the end of people's lives when they say things like, man, I wish I wouldn't have done this, or I wish I would have done that. I wish I would have, if I could, I would go back and change. Let me tell you something. Faced with the end of his life, Jesus wouldn't change a thing. He loved us unto the very end. He loved us. No regrets. No moments of speculation. He knew you. He saw you. And he loved you all the way to the end of his life. Amen. He loved them unto the end of his life. Think about this. He loved them unto the end of their lives. Think about that. All the way through to the end of their lives. Through the ups and downs, through the doubts of Thomas, the denial of Peter, through the forget this, I'm going back fishing, and all the other ones say, we're going to go with you, all the way through the victories and the defeats, the mountaintops and the valleys. It never changed. He loved them unto the end of their lives, unto the end of his life. He loved them unto the end of eternity. Teenager, God loves you. He's always loved you. He loved you yesterday. He loves you today. He'll love you tomorrow. And my friend, he will love you all the way unto the end of your life. We're in the Christmas season. Think about this for a moment. God was born. Think about that. The eternal God was born. I mean, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, was born. God died. We say, God's not dead. No, he is alive. He is alive, but he did die. God died. Can you wrap your mind around that? On the cross, he died. God lives again. Why? Because he loves us. And I never want to get over the fact that I am loved unconditionally, immeasurably. I am loved by an almighty God. Does it still move you?
Come on.
Does it still matter to you? Brother Ray, make your way up here. Has your heart become hardened to the love of God? You say, well, Brother Judah, I don't know. I've not felt loved in a long time. Well, you can feel loved right now in a moment if you'll just think about the scriptures. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Hey, you say, Brother Judah, I've messed up and I'm not all that I should be. Well, you let the love of God turn you into all that you ought to be. There's no greater motivation for service than the fact that God loves us. He loves us. The love of God. Brother Ray, come sing the song again. I want us to hear this good song again. God loves us. Who understands that God loves us? Raise your hand. Hey, amen. Hey, who? Are you still moved by the fact that God Almighty loves you?
Amen.
They say that every preacher has one driving force in his ministry, one driving truth. That's what they say. You say, Brother Judah, of the hundreds of sermons that you've preached, and all the places that you've been, what is your one driving truth? Here it is. God loves me.
Amen.
Because he loves me, I love him.
Amen.
And there's no greater life. Sing the song again, and we'll get into the sermon for a few moments. Sing it.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from all sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall the saints and angels' song. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man ascribed by trade to write the love of God above, would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Saints and angels song. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and
Exodus chapter 21 in your Bible. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless the few moments that we have for chapel. Lord, we know that you love us. We're thankful. God, we can never repay the love that you've shown to us. Lord, you've given us a few years on this earth. You did say, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so, God, we do the best that we possibly can, failing every day, but trying to show our love for you. We love you. We thank you for first loving us, for never stopping that love. In Jesus' name, amen. Exodus chapter 21, the message that I was going to preach, that I only have about 12 minutes to preach, and I'm going to be done right on time because my son's playing a basketball game. Exodus chapter number 21, here's what the Bible says. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve. In the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. Laying down the rules for purchasing a person. I don't have 50 minutes to preach this message to you. I have 11 now. Laying down the rules for purchasing an individual. If thou buy a Hebrew servant. Technically, we're talking about indentured servitude. Talking about that place where a person got back in this day where they were so broke they could not pay that which they owed, and so they voluntarily sold themselves or their children into slavery. It happened. Happened in our country in the beginning of our nation. It happened. We're talking about indentured servitude. Talking about maybe a thief who could not repay that which he owed, and so he was caught, could not repay it with interest, and so the only recourse that he had was to sell himself as a slave on an auction block where somebody would purchase him. A slave has no rights. A slave has no choice. A slave has no opinion. You do what you're told, when you're told, and how you're told to do it. You're a slave. You've been bought. You've been purchased. And here God is saying, if you buy a Hebrew slave, here's how it works. Look what the Bible says in verse 2. 6 years he shall serve. And in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. He came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. His master have borne him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters. The wife and her children shall be her masters. And he shall go out by himself. These are the rules. If you ever purchase a person, you've got 6 years. By the way, if you ever find yourself in that position, there's nothing left to do but to sell yourself or a child, you've got 6 years. Do what you're told for 6 years. Be where you're supposed to be and when you're supposed to be. Work as hard as I need you to work. No say over where you sleep or what you eat. You're a slave. You'll do it for 6 years, but in the seventh year, your debt to society is completely paid in full. You're free to leave. In that seventh year, you walk away, and you can go wherever you want to go, never having to return to slavery, never having to return to servitude, never having to return to the master. who lords over you and tells you what you have to do because you're a slave. In the seventh year, you can go out, the Bible says, free for nothing. That's what the Bible says. I don't know about you, but I could not even imagine being a slave. Couldn't imagine it. It's a terrible thing. I could not imagine Brother Mitchell for 6 years being told what to do, when to do it, how to do it, where I would sleep, eat, what I couldn't do. Told how to speak. I couldn't imagine for 6 years calling somebody master. Couldn't imagine it. How demeaning. How condescending. But in that seventh year, he should go out by himself unless verse number 5 takes place. The Bible says, and if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall bring him to the door or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. On the brink of freedom, in the very moment where you can walk away and live your own life and go back to what you used to be and where you used to be, with no master, when you could go out, the Bible says, free for nothing, your debt totally, completely canceled and paid. What would cause a man to say, no, I want to stay? What would cause a man to say, not just for 6 years, but forever? What would cause a person, how crazy do you have to be when you're a slave, to choose it? The Bible says what happens. Verse number 5, the servant shall plainly say, I love my master. College student, there's two ways you can look at the Christian life. Two and only two ways. You can look at a bunch of rules that need to be kept. I don't know how thick the rule book is at Hiles Anderson. I have no idea. I'm going to imagine there's 200 and 540 pages in this book. It's probably twice the size of this. I have no idea. I broke rules in college. I didn't even know were rules. I didn't even found out later. Didn't tell anybody about it. Praise the Lord. But, hey, you can look at the Christian life that way. You can. The sad thing is, many of you do. The sum total of your Christianity is a list of rules to keep. You've been told what to wear, so you wear it. You've been told what to say, so you say it. You've been told where to go, and so that's where you're at. You've been told where you can't go, so you don't go there, lest you incur the wrath of whoever. You've been told how to dress. You've been told what to listen to. You've been told what to watch. And so you dutifully keep that list. And that's the Christian life for some of you. You'll do it for 6 years. Then you'll leave. Some of you will do it for 4 years, 2 years, a semester. You'll do it. Hey, you can only live like that so long. I don't care who you are. You can only live like that so long as a slave. Soon you start to resent your circumstance. Soon you feel like you're in prison. Soon you feel like you're in bondage. Soon you start to flex and you can't wait to break free. And man, one more year, 2 more years, 4 more years, and I fulfilled the requirement. And now I can leave in peace and go and do what I want to do, free for nothing. Some of you are living your life that way. And that's one way to live the Christian life. The list of rules to be kept. Or the second way is this. Take a big step back and to say, I love my master. And there's nothing he can ask of me that I'm not willing to do. I love him. I love it. It's not about I have to do this. It's about I want to do this because I love my Master, hey, college student, do you love God today? Let me ask you a question, little self-evaluation. Why are you doing what you're doing? To please your parents? To please somebody on a platform? Some bus captain? Why? Why do you live the way that you live? Is it because you're supposed to? Is it because it's expected? Is it because you're the preacher's kid? And what would everybody think? Or is it because there's something deep down inside of you that loves the Lord with all of your heart? And even if nobody's watching, you're still gonna do right. And even if nobody's around, and even if no one will ever find out, hey, it's the love of God that constrains me to be what I ought to be. When I was nothing and nobody and broke, destined for hell, He loved me. And because of that, my friend, I love Him. I love Him. So if you're gonna love your master, so I ask you the question, in 3 minutes, do you love your master? Hey, is this a game that we're playing? Time that we're keeping? To get away as soon as possible? 6 years, I'll serve. Preach the message to teenagers. It's always fun to point out 7th grade, 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade. 6 years we'll serve. And then what? See, if you love your master, it's forever. I want to give you three thoughts today on loving your master. In just a couple of minutes, I'm going to be done. Number one, if you love your master, it's a choice. It's a choice. It's a choice that you have to make. Notice what the Bible says. The Bible says that the servant shall plainly say, I love my master. In other words, when the time came, it's an act of volition. When the time came where he could make his own choice, he had to make a choice whether to stay or leave, to love his master or to walk away. And if you're going to love your master, if you're going to be in this thing forever, it is a choice that you make. Amen. You made that choice? I was preaching years ago, and a young man stood up at a camp, and he basically said in so many words, this young man was rebellious, and you could tell from the look of him. And he basically said this to the students that were there. He said, all of you know me. I've been around since kindergarten. He said, for years, I made the same decision every single camp, every single conference, every single retreat. I don't remember all that he said. He said, but I made the same decision. And you know it, my decision. He said, no matter what song was sung, no matter who the preacher was, no matter what my friends decided, the decision I made was to leave God. That was his decision. He had had difficulties in his life, and then he stood up after getting his heart right with God, and he publicly said, I just want everybody here to know all those times I gave up on God, I'm thankful that he's never given up on me. My friend, listen to me. If you're going to love your master, it is a choice. It is a choice. It is a personal choice. So why are you here? Putting in time? Taking every shortcut you can take to fulfill the requirement that you might leave and live your own life? Or have you made the choice to love your master? Next, if you love your master, it's a choice. Secondly, if you love your master, you'll say it plainly. See what the Bible says? The Bible says, verse number 5, the servant shall plainly say, hey, watch this. What's in your heart will come out of your mouth.
Right.
Hey, so do you love your master? Because what's in your heart will come out of your mouth.
Right.
You hang around with Brother Judah, there's a few things you're going to find out about Brother Judah. You hang around me long, there's a handful of things. Phil, you know me well. Handful of things. Several of you know me well. Here's what you know about Brother Judah. He loves the Chicago Bears. Loves the Chicago Bears. Now, you know what? I don't care if you like them or not. I don't care. Like, really, you have no idea how little I care about the fact that if you don't like the Chicago Bears, it means nothing to me. Strike that. You're a loser. No, I'm just kidding. But I was preaching in Wisconsin. I think some of your people were around, Brother King, and it was the joy of my life. I'm preaching in Wisconsin, and all those Packer fans, you know, the Bears, whatever. But I got not a whole lot I can say right now, but on the last day of camp, after all the decisions were made, and I felt like God worked, and I could get in the flesh a little bit, I went to my room on the last morning service of camp, after we had a good move of God, and people were saved, and lives were surrendered. I said, Lord, I'm just going to throw the towel in on this one and give up a day early. I went to my room. I pulled out a big, massive Chicago Bears beach towel. I draped it over the pulpit so that all the Packer fans and cheeseheads could see it while I preached, and I basically, I loved it. You know why? Hey, because if you love something, hey, if you love something, in your heart, it's going to come out of your mouth. You hang around with Brother Judah, you are going to find out at some point. I lost all masculinity here about a month ago. My car died. Never buy a Hyundai. That's my mantra. My car died, and so I purchased, out of necessity, Toyota Prius. And what a sad sight it was when I took the license plate off of the front of my nice car with a dead engine, and I took it right now. There's a little Prius out there, a little friendly, democratic, eco-friendly Prius, but it does have, at least it has, a license plate on the front. The Chicago Bears license plate is there. Does it look as good there as it did on my other car? Pastor was coming by. He saw the license plate. He saw me. He said, "You get a new car?" And I said, "Yes." "Oh, nice." And even pastor thinks I'm a loser. But hey, if you hang out with Brother Judah, you're going to find out he loves Chicago Bears. You hang out with Brother Judah, you're going to find out he loves his family. I've got a wife, and I've got three kids. And I wasn't raised in a home with love like that. I wasn't raised in a home where mom and dad loved each other. I wasn't raised in a home. I'm not here to cry, but I played sports all the way through high school, all the way through. It meant a lot to me. My dad never came to a game. My mom came to one. I wasn't raised in a home where, but I've got three kids right now. Let me tell you something. You hang out with Brother Judah, you're going to find out, man, he loves those kids. Because what's in here is coming out of my mouth. And I believe it's true, and I want it to be more true. You hang out with Brother Judah for a while. I hope you find out, man, you know that guy. He loves the Bible. He loves the Lord. So let me ask you a question. What comes out of your mouth? Let me ask you a question. What's the text message look like, my friends? Let me ask you a question. How often do you say the name Jesus? How often does your heart skip when you sing about Jesus? How often does a tear fall out of your eye at just the mention of the lovely name of Jesus? Hey, do you love your master? If you do, you'll plainly say it. Like Brother King knows me, and he absolutely knows. He doesn't go to bed at night and wonder, does Brother Judah like the Packers somewhere deep down in his heart? I have plainly told him that I hate his team. I've plainly said that.
That's true.
And he said it back. And hey. So the people you work with, people you're in the dorms with, little brothers and sisters back home, the mom and dad back home, do they know about you? That's somebody that loves God because they say it all the time. You love your master, you'll say it plainly. If you love your master, it's a choice. If you love your master, it's easily identified. Again, this is a full message, but I'm just giving you the point in a few moments. What'd that servant have to do? He had to go publicly, he had to take an awl, he had to drive it through his ear, he had to leave a mark for everybody to see, and for the rest of time, everybody saw that mark, everybody saw that hole, everybody saw that circle. As he bought food, as he did errands for the master, little kids came around and said, "Look at him, look at that freak, what happened to him, what happened to his ear, oh, look at what, mommy, what is it?" And she was able to just look, and say, "I can tell you about him, I can tell you all about him. He used to be a slave, he used to be somebody for 6 years that was forced to serve and work, and it was probably horrendous, but somewhere along the line, he made a choice to love his master, and so he took this mark." Now everybody sees it. What does everybody see when they look at you?
Amen.
What? Hey, easily identified. In other words, the whole world can look at you and say, look at them. I don't know their name. I've never had a conversation with them, but look at how they're dressed, and look at how they walk, and listen to how they talk, and it's easily identified.
Amen.
We live in a sorry world of Christianity where we're trying to abandon every standard of holiness, and it's a burden of mine. Let's get as close to the world as we possibly can in dress and behavior. Just enough. Hey. Just let's stay far enough away to fulfill the requirement.
Come on.
Other than that, hey, get me alone. Get me on my break or on my Instagram page or in the private world. And you'll never be able to tell I'm a Christian.
Come on.
Satan, okay, that might be how you are, but not if you love your master.
Right, amen.
If you love your master, it is easily identified.
Amen.
Easily identified. And if you love your master, and I'm done, there's no other way to say it except the way it's said in verse number 6. If you love your master, you'll serve him forever.
Good.
Hey, it's not one more year, two more years, four more years. It's not, you know, it's forever. It's to the end of my life, to the end of his life, to the end of eternity, it's forever. Let me just stop and say this and remind you, he loved you unto the end. If you love your master, my friend, there's no graduation from it. There's no slowing down. There's no backing up. There's nobody on planet Earth telling me, Brother Mitchell, there's nobody. I've had several people say to me this week, oh, you got a busy week, busy week, busy week, busy week. And I do. I have a busy week. I do. Praise the Lord. I'd rather be busy than not busy. But there's not a single person on planet Earth telling me, hey, Abdel, you have to do this, 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 you have not a single person. All I can say to you is, man, I love my master.
Amen. Good.
And if I can be used, and if it costs me a little bit of effort, a little bit of sleep, a little bit of money, a little bit of time, hey, a little bit of inconvenience, a little bit of some late nights, some early mornings, you know what? Call me crazy, but sign me up, my friend, because I love my master, and I'll love him forever.
Good.
And I'll serve him forever. Now, how about you?
Amen.
Would you bow your heads, please, and close your eyes? Do you love your master? College student, have you made a choice? College student, are you vocal about it? College student, is it visible? Hey, let me ask you a question. Is it forever? Whether people are seeing, not seeing, noticing, not noticing, God knows. God knows. I love my master. You know, I stand here tonight, this morning, and I know some things. Man, I know. Brother Adkins, I know that I'm not a talented person. You know what? Abdel Karim Aisa Judah has one thing going for him, and it's not his name. Got one thing going for me, man. One thing. That's the fact that right now in this moment, from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, I love my master. And he loves me. You know what? If that's all I've got going for me, it's enough. I'll be vocal about it. It'll be visible. Lord willing, I've made the choice, and young person, watch, I made it a long time ago. Long time ago, I made the choice. By the grace of God, I'm never going back. By the grace of God, it'll be forever. Some of the very friends that you surround yourself with right now, some of the very people that inspire you to love the Lord, they may get out of this thing someday. They may turn back someday. They may be like a Judas or a Demas. They may be like a Peter and deny. But if you love your master, you'll serve him forever. And I love my master. Brother Mitchell, thank you.